you can in your Bibles to John chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 34. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many of you are glad to be here tonight? Say amen. Amen. I'm glad too. I'm glad you're here. John 4, verse 34. Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Verse 35, don't say there are yet 4 months and then comes the... Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are already white to harvest. And he that reaps receives wages and gathers fruit unto life eternal, that both he that sows and he that reaps may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one sows and another reaps. Verse 38, I sent you to reap whereon you bestowed no labor, and other men labored, and you were entered in to their labors. And again in verse 35, do you not say there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And the message tonight is, it's harvest time, not quitting time. Hallelujah. It's harvest time, not quitting time. I want you to know that Jesus is not going out in defeat. The kingdom of God is not going out in defeat. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ here in the United States of America is not going out in defeat, praise God. But we are going out on the high tide. We are going out on the highest possible point, highest possible apex of spiritual victory and glory that the kingdom of God has ever seen here in the world before. You can take a look at Moses when he crossed the Red Sea, and by the time that this thing all wraps up and the rapture takes place, you'll be able to say truly that God was stronger and greater when the rapture took place than even when Moses had finished crossing the Red Sea. Hallelujah. You can take a look. I'll even venture to say, you can take a look at through the Gospels and all of the ministry and the glory and the miracles that took place in the ministry when Jesus walked the earth. And by the time the rapture has taken place, you'll truly be able to say, yes, that God reserved the greatest for the end times, that the glory of the latter house was greater than the glory of the former house, that truly John 14 verse 12 is true, that we did greater works than what Jesus did because he went to his Father and sent the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, church, I'm here to stir you up tonight that it's not getting lesser and lesser, that the work that the devil is doing and what it seems like ISIS is doing and bad leadership is doing is not going to get greater and greater until the rapture takes place. The thing that is going to get greater and greater until the rapture takes place is the glorious church. It's the glorious preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I hope I'm not making your ears bleed tonight. I'm just really excited about this. Hallelujah. There's the notion that the rapture has to come real soon in the next few years because things are getting so bad. But I'm telling you, that's not the scriptural notion. And that's not God's plan. The rapture has to take place because things are so good. When you study the Word of God, the tribulation ends up in the second coming of the Lord. And that takes place when things are bad. But the rapture, on the contrary, takes place when things are good. So people think, well, man, you look at what is going on in the world today. It's getting so bad. This has all got to wrap up. No, that is not God's word. That is not God's wisdom. And that is not God's plan. God is going out on the high tide, on the high side of victory. This thing is turning around. And I'm telling you, even tonight as I spoke, I gave a little prophetic word in that prayer time that we had, that things that you see, the way it looks to the natural eye right now is not the way that it really is. And I've thought about that. It's like the third or fourth time that I've been ministering here in the last year that the Lord has had me prophesy that the way things look in the U.S. right now in the natural is not the way that it really is. We have a media that's lying to us. We have a devil that is a liar. So everybody that follows him is lying right along with him. But the truth is that the U.S. is about to go to shaking and rocking and reeling in Holy Ghost revival. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's about to get better than it's ever been before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've got four things that I believe in 2016 that I'm going to share with you in just a few minutes that I believe God spoke to me. We're going to get to that, but I want to share with you what the Word has to say first. It's the most sure word of prophecy, Peter said. We have a more sure word of prophecy is the Word of God. So it's harvest time, not quitting time. Now is not the time for the body of Christ to have an escape mentality. Now is not the time for you to be thinking, my goodness, look at how bad our, you know, we had the rainbow shot up and lights all over the White House. And look at what ISIS did a few weeks ago. And look at what our current president said. Things are getting so bad, I just need to get ready to roll things up because I think the Lord's coming this next year and it's not all, none of it matters anyway. No, that's not, God's not plan is for, God's plan is not for you to be giving up on the harvest. God's plan is not for you to be giving up on the harvest for your personal life. God's plan is not for you to be giving up on the harvest of your family getting saved, of your financial harvest and breakthrough, of your physical healing because something happened tragic in your family's life. God's plan is not that you quit, not that you give up. It is not quitting time, it's harvest time. And I'm here to tell you tonight, lift up your eyes to the harvest because the fields are already white. You have to get your eyes off of what the devil's doing and get your eyes on what God is doing. You cannot fulfill God's plan for your life looking at what the devil's plan is. You cannot prophesy and speak the word of God reposting everything that the devil is doing on Facebook. CNN just said, and Glenn Beck's a great guy, but I'm telling you, you can't repost and talk about everything that the devil's doing and look how bad the current administration is. You say at some point, you got to speak the word of God and look at the word of God more than you look at what CNN has to say and what your Facebook newsfeed has to say about the current situation. Because the word of God is true. You want to be able to filter through the mess? Read the Bible. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I'm telling you, we're going out on the high side of victory. We need to see the harvest and not see the evil. Because Jesus said, lift up your eyes to the harvest, for they are white. The devil wants to get around and start making such a mess and get things up in such a tizzy and kick up things and get the news media lying about stuff and portraying something that's not true about the economy, that's not true about the state of revival and the state of Christianity in this nation, to portray something that's not true about the state of the heart of this nation, to where we get discouraged about it and we begin to look at that and we stop looking at the problem. Promises of God, and we quit. We've got to see the harvest and not see the evil, because what we see, we become. As I preached several weeks ago, when Moses looked upon the glory of God, Moses' face then began to shine so much that he had to put a veil over his face to talk to the children of Israel. What Moses saw, he became. What Aaron, on the contrary, down at the bottom of Mount Horeb saw, with a bunch of people saying, lead us in idolatry, Aaron became an idolater. And Moses became someone who reflected the glory of God. So what you see, you become. So you have to see what God's harvest is for you. You have to pray in tongues enough so that the eyes of your understanding are enlightened and you know what God's harvest is for you. The devil may even, when a spirit of religion can even come to you and portray something that looks like a godly harvest, but if it's not God's harvest for you, then you're still off track, even though it looks good. God's harvest for you is the harvest that you will receive every time. Hallelujah. God's harvest for you is the harvest that you will receive every time. So you have to lift up your eyes and see what God's harvest is for you. What's God's harvest for your job? What's God's harvest for your finances? What's God's harvest designated for Calvary Cathedral in 2016? Hallelujah. That's what's going to come to pass. And Jesus said, lift up your eyes and see the harvest and don't see the evil. I'm telling you, the devil has no true spiritual power here in this earth other than the power that men and women give him. We're the ones that carry the spiritual power. And if he can just kick up enough of a dust storm to get us disoriented to where we trip and fall and we're not walking by the Spirit of God, then we'll trade our sword of the Spirit for the news media's report. The devil really has no power. If he can get us focused on the evil and our eyes off the harvest, then he's going to beat us. But that's not happening here, praise God. What you see, you become. You can't fulfill God's plan while lamenting the devil's plan. And I'm telling you right now that the Spirit-filled church, and I'm not talking about us here specifically, but the Spirit-filled church here in the U.S. has got to stop whining and complaining about everything that the devil's doing here in the United States. I think we need to stop whining and complaining about everything that the devil's doing here in the U.S. and start prophesying what the Word of God has to say. Start speaking what God showed us. And I'm telling you, lift up your eyes and see the harvest to the point that you cannot shut your mouth up about what God showed you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Half this message I preached yesterday, I was talking to Riley before I headed over to her house, and I couldn't stop myself from preaching this message because I had just spent some time in prayer. I was so excited, I could not stop it. I'm telling you, when you get full and you see what God's harvest is for you, you can't stop it from coming out of your mouth. Who cares what CNN has to say? Who cares what the Facebook timeline said and what somebody reposted about the Antichrist? Who gives a rip? We already know more about the Antichrist than the Antichrist himself knows about himself. So we got the inside scoop. Get a hold of God's harvest for you and begin to speak that, praise God. I'm telling you, you could stop the newspaper subscription, turn the news off, and never look at a social media news report again, and be more adept and more ahead and more on target for what this current status is in the world today by praying in tongues and speaking what God shows you. The Spirit-filled church is spending too much time lamenting and reposting what the devil is doing and not prophesying what the Lord spoke to them. Because we're inputting social media more than we are prayer and the Word. Prophesy on social media and stop reposting all this junk. If people want to watch junk, they'll turn on CNN. Yeah, I said that, so hallelujah. What you see, you become. You can't fulfill God's plan by lamenting the devil's plan. And I want to tell you right now that your long-term harvest is here. I believe that there are some of you here tonight, some of you watching and listening, that you have a long-term harvest that you've been believing God for, that if you were to really examine your faith right now, that you have started to let up on and quit believing God for. But I'm here to tell you tonight that your long-term harvest is coming in this year of 2016. Now, I can't guarantee you by selling you some olive oil and throwing olive leaves over my left shoulder that it's all going to manifest, but I am telling you by the Spirit of God that there's going to be a full manifestation or the beginning of a full manifestation of many people's long-term harvest here that are listening, if you'll catch that and receive it by faith right now. Things you've been believing God for, and I'm telling you that the devil's report of this bad thing and this horrible thing and ISIS this and ISIS that has tried to bog down and weigh down the Spirit-filled church to get us to release our faith, and a lot of us have stopped believing God for things that we have been believing God for a long time. And a big harvest, we thought, well, you know what, it's just getting too bad. Maybe it's going to happen in the millennial reign, in the thousand-year reign. No, I'm telling you that everything God's spoken to you and putting in your heart is going to happen in this lifetime. God's not going to fail to give you and deliver you anything that He's promised you. Hallelujah. It's all coming to pass. Every single bit of it. So your long-term harvest is coming to pass. Your long-term harvest is here. Release your faith right now. Praise God. I'm telling you, latch on to that right now. You may have lost the faith for your family. You may have lost the faith or been shaken in your faith for your finances or for harvest here in this nation. But it's coming to pass. I'm telling you right now, I've got something that I'm going to be sharing here in a few minutes. It is coming to pass. We're going to see the beginning of these things take place in the year 2016. The devil is so utterly, completely, laughably defeated. It's laughable. It is absolutely laughable. When we see the worm that deceived the nations thrown into the lake of fire, people will just say, is this the little thing that deceived the nations? Yeah, that's him. Every single one of you in this place that's born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, under the direction of the Holy Ghost, you have absolute, complete authority over Satan himself. If you were to put you and Satan in the squared circle in a boxing match, so to speak, in a spiritual boxing match, you would just knock his little sissy head off in one blow. He wouldn't even get one blow into you. That's the spiritual power you have. That's how defeated he is. I mean, don't even entertain the notion that the U.S. is going to fall in sin and idolatry and that God's going to return out of just a hopeless act to save the last remnant of the Christians that are so beaten down and downtrodden they were holding out to the end. Give me a break. There's way too much salt in this nation for that to be what takes place here in the United States. Way too much salt. We must lift up our eyes to see the harvest and get our eyes off of current trouble and evil. Lift up your eyes to see the harvest and get your eyes off of current trouble and evil. And I'm going to tell you right now, I believe this is a prophetic, I'm going to prophesy to you right now that this current and evil trouble is passing. The devil has lied excessively over news media, social media, and even through a lot of well-meaning Christians to think that ISIS and all these horrible things and the evil that we see across the world today is just going to grow and grow and grow until the end of the world comes. And I'm telling you, there is evil that's going to grow and grow and grow. I'm not saying that all sin is going to be removed from the earth, but this current evil and things that we see that it seems like it's taking the nation over is passing. I'm telling you, it's passing. It's passing. And I'm not saying that every bar in the entire United States is going to be shut down, that nobody's ever going to commit adultery again. I'm not saying that. But the flood tide of evil that we have seen here in the United States is getting reversed. And it's turning into a flood tide of revival, and it is passing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We must lift our eyes off the harvest and get our eyes off of the current. We must lift our eyes to see the harvest and get our eyes off of the current trouble and evil. The current evil and trouble is passing. So be ready for the imminent harvest by seeing the harvest by the Spirit of God ahead of time. God wants you to see it ahead of time. Point number two. Point number one is see the harvest and not the evil. Point number two. I'm going to take a drink of water on this one. This is my favorite one. Point number two. We are going out. I'm talking about the rapture. We are going out in revival and not in obscurity. Hallelujah. We are not going out in obscurity. We are not going out in weakness. I'm telling you, when the rapture takes place, we are going out in revival. We're going out on the high side. Praise God. Rapture takes place in the peak of worldwide revival, not in the valley. The rapture takes place in the peak of worldwide revival, not in the valley. When Jesus prophesied and spoke of the end times, he did warn of wars and tribulation and wars and things that were taking place. But you have to balance that out with the full counsel of the Word of God. You can't just take one scripture at the neglect of everything else. God, the rapture is taking place at the peak of worldwide revival, not in the valley. I'm telling you, the whole purpose of the rapture is that the gospel has been preached with such power. Listen to me right now. The whole purpose and idea and concept of the rapture in the Word of God is that the gospel has been preached with such power and fervency and effectiveness around the world that it has reached a place that everybody that's going to get saved by the preaching and the demonstration of the gospel will have gotten saved. You can read that in Matthew chapter 24, that this gospel shall be preached until the ends of the earth, and then the end shall come. How did Jesus preach the gospel? He preached it and he demonstrated it. Paul said the gospel is not in word only, but in power. So when the gospel has been preached all over the world to every single human being across the planet, the same way it was preached when Jesus walked the earth, the same way Jesus preached when he walked the earth, he preached it in boldness, he preached it in power. He preached it prophetically, he read people's mail by the word of knowledge, he raised people from the dead, Jesus opened blind eyes, he cleansed the leper, praise God, he opened deaf ears, he made the lame to walk, hallelujah. Everywhere that he went, this is what took place. When the gospel has been preached like that across the entire globe, then the end shall come. And I'm telling you, that is a glorious end for the church. It's not a place where we're going to be whimpering and crying in defeat and wondering what's going to take place. How are we going to get delivered? But we're going to be on the high side of victory. Praise God. And that doesn't mean there won't be persecution. There is going to be great persecution, but the church is on the high side of victory. Hallelujah. We're going out. The rapture takes place. We're going out on the high side of victory. We're going out in revival, not in obscurity. There's been a misunderstanding about the rapture. And I preached four messages on the rapture and the second coming of the Lord earlier this year. I want to share this with you. This will really simplify things with you when you study and think about the rapture in the New Testament. The rapture takes place at the peak of worldwide revival, not in the valley. Okay, two indications of rapture in Scripture. Because when you read through the New Testament, Matthew chapter 24 and 25, and 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5, and then Peter, when he talked about it, and in Revelation, there are two instances that there's one returning of the Lord, which is the rapture. There's another returning. Technically, it's not a returning because his feet don't touch the ground. He comes in the clouds, and we're caught up to be with Jesus in the clouds in the rapture. And in the second coming, he actually comes all the way down in the entire church. The body of Christ is with him here on the earth. So two indications to know the difference between the rapture and the second coming, because it's important that you know this. And let me tell you why. Because if you think the rapture is going to be indicated by horrible tribulation and all the horrible things that take place in the New Testament that is described in the book of Revelation, and you think wars and trouble and turmoil and defeat is the sign of the rapture, then our mindset is going to be, well, we're just going to end up having to hold out until the end, until the trumpet sounds. And what's going to happen as a result of that, we begin to lose our zeal and think it's all over. It's all about to wrap up. The end is near. You know, it's all over right now, so why should I do anything? But God has 10-year plans. God has 5-year plans. God has 40-year plans. God has 80, 60, 70, 80, 90-year plans in place for the gospel to be preached. And I'm not saying that the rapture is 90 or 100 years away. I don't believe that, but I don't believe it's in the next 2 or 3 years either. I can guarantee you I'm going to be here preaching the gospel in the next 3 or 4 or 5 years. And it's not going to be because I'm going to miss the rapture. But if we have a misunderstanding about the difference between the rapture and the second coming, then if we have the wrong belief about it, then we're going to have the wrong actions as a result of what we believe. And the devil's doing all that he can to get people to misunderstand what's going on. He's wanting to misconstrue the ISIS and all these things that are going on as if the whole end is coming in the next year or two, and it's just going to get worse and worse and worse, and we just need to hunker down and hold out until the end, and Jesus is going to come and save us from this horrible situation. And we're not going to be lifting up our eyes to see the harvest. We're going to be focused on what ISIS is doing and on a president that says we're no longer a Christian nation and all these negative things. And when your eyes are focused on that, your faith is never going to exceed that. If your eyes are focused all on ISIS and all on what Obama says about the Muslim, and then we're not a Christian nation, and the evil that's taking place and the rainbows in the White House. And I'm not saying we need to deny those things. We pray over it. Don't get me wrong, but if that's all that we focus on, and if we think trouble is the sign of the rapture and terrible things, then what's going to happen? We're going to lose our faith and our focus for what God has to do. I'm telling you that God's plan for the end times for you and for me and for the church, the body of Christ, is glorious. We are going out in power. We are going out in glory. We are going out at a higher place than Moses was. We are going out. The kingdom of God is going out in the rapture at a higher place than it was even when Jesus walked the earth. And trial and tribulation and defeat is not the plan of God. And that is not the sign and the indication of God's hand at work and God's timing for the rapture. It's not true. We got to understand that. Because if we think that these signs are the signs of the end, like it's going to get worse and worse till the end comes, we're going to lay down our sword and take up a shovel and just try to hunker down and save ourselves until the end time, until the Lord comes to save us. The rapture does not take place so the Lord can save his sickly, defeated church from horrible trouble. That is not why the rapture takes place at all. The rapture takes place Because the church has wielded the sword, preached the gospel so mightily across the earth that there is not one more soul left to hear the gospel that would get saved. But every soul has gotten saved because we have preached the gospel in such power that we have completed the work, that the work is finished for this season in time on the earth. And the Lord raptures us up because we have accomplished the work that God has called us to do. I'm telling you, I think you ought to be shouting over that right there. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but this builds a fire on the inside of my spirit. Glory to God. We've got a glorious work that lies ahead of us. As Pastor says, the best is yet to come. 2016 is better than any year we've ever had here at Calvary Cathedral, and it's getting better. So two indications of when you're reading Scripture, I want to share this with you real quick, to know whether you're reading about the rapture or the second coming. It's important that you know the difference. Two indications that you're reading about the rapture is the rapture is indicated by peace, and the time of the rapture is unknown. When you read about the rapture in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3, and actually the latter part of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and Matthew 24, verse 38, you will see that the rapture is indicated by an unknown time. Jesus and the writers and the epistles clearly say that. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Nobody knows the time of the rapture. It's so very clear that the rapture is a different instance from the second coming of the Lord. Matthew chapter 24, verse 38. Actually, just start in verse 36. I just want to tell you, if you study Matthew chapter 24, Jesus, in that chapter, is giving an overview of all of the end times. In Matthew 24, that he talks about the second coming at the end of tribulation. He also talks about the rapture. He talks about harvest. He talks about tribulation. He talks about many different things. So you've got to know when Jesus changes the subject. And from verses 35 and back to the beginning of the chapter, by and large, he's talking about the second coming. And in verse 36, he begins to talk about the rapture. And you can tell. But of that day, verse 36, that day and hour knows no man, but not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so also shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in those days there was drinking in the flood, there was eating, drinking, marrying, and giving into marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Two shall be in the field, and one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord comes. So Jesus here is painting a picture of peace. Now there's the shalom peace of God that we all have. In the middle of hell on earth, you have the shalom peace of God. That's why Jesus, when he was walking on the water, said, "Peace, be still." But here, Jesus is talking about in the earth in general. It's going to be like the days of Noah, eating, drinking, and making merry. And then the Son of Man shows up. But when you study the second coming of the Lord, it is very clear that it is absolute tribulation. The tribulation that happens at the second coming of the Lord at the end of the tribulation is indescribable. It is so bad that earlier on in chapter 24 that the Lord said that he had to shorten the days lest the elect wouldn't even survive what has taken place. It gets so bad. So the rapture is a different instance. And turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I just want you to see this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You can read the latter part of chapter 4. He talks about his return. Paul does. But in verse 1, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. And verse 3, for when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief, for you are all children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Verse 6, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. Verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love for an helmet and the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus. So back there in verse 3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them. This is the return of the Lord. I'm telling you, sudden destruction is what's going to happen when a large percentage of the human race is instantly removed from the planet. But up until that point, there's the common thing is peace and safety. The common thing is that the world is eating, drinking, and making merry. That's what the Bible says about the rapture. So the Lord has got great and glorious things for us. So two things about the rapture to know what you're reading about. The rapture is indicated by peace and safety, and the time is unknown. However, the second coming has two indications, which are trouble. Number one, the second coming is absolute trouble from bottom to top, front to back, beginning to end. The second coming of the Lord and the end of tribulation is indicated by trouble everywhere you look, and the time is known. When you study the book of Revelation, you know the exact time that the Lord is going to return because it's indicated by days, months, and years throughout the book of Revelation. So everybody's going to know. So it's important that we understand the differences there when you study Scripture. So I want you to know that. And the Lord wants you to know that. The rapture is indicated by trouble. The rapture is indicated by revival. Praise God. So lift up your eyes to the harvest that we must work and reap. It's important that we know this because believing the wrong thing produces the wrong result. Listen to this. Believing the rapture is an escape hatch from evil produces a hold out till the end mindset. Believing the rapture is a reward of revival produces work and reaping of the harvest. Hallelujah. That's why it's important that we know the difference. Now, don't get me wrong, I know there's going to be persecution and the things that the devil's doing are going to grow and increase, but there's going to be a winner. And there's going to be a loser when the rapture takes place. Yeah, there's going to be evil. There's going to be trial and tribulation going on. But the body of Christ is coming out on top when the Lord returns. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So my point number two, we are going out in revival, not in obscurity. The next thing I want to tell you, there is too much salt in the United States. Now, I know I was preaching earlier. I'm going to get back to preaching in a few minutes, but I want to teach you some of these things here so you know what the truth of the Word of God is. There is too much salt in the United States for anything else to happen. And again, I'll qualify that statement. There's still going to be sin taking place. There's still going to be evil taking place across the nation. But the predominant thing I'm telling you is going to be the moving of the Spirit of God. It's happened before four times that I know of off the top of my head. The first Great Awakening, the second Great Awakening, Azusa Street, and then the Voice of Healing revival in the 50s. God's already done it four times in this nation, and He can do it again, praise God. Hallelujah. And it's going to be greater and it's going to be bigger than it has ever been before. But there is too much salt in this nation. Hallelujah. In Genesis 18:32, we're not going to turn there right now unless you want to. Sodom would have been spared if there were only 10 righteous people. Sodom and Gomorrah would have been spared if there were only 10 righteous people. There were only four. There was Lot, his wife, and his two daughters. There were only four righteous people, and God spared the righteous people and pulled them out. But God would have spared it for 10. And you say, well, maybe it's a percentage. You know, we don't know what the population of Sodom was back in those days. Well, it's a number, so we'll stick with the number. I believe that if God had 10 righteous people in Fort Worth, that He would spare Fort Worth. But I know there are hundreds, I know there are thousands upon thousands of righteous people here in Fort Worth, Texas. I know there are millions of righteous people in the United States of America right now that don't agree with all the sin that's going on, that don't agree with the portrayal of homosexual immorality that has been swathed across this nation in the last 8 years, that don't agree with all the transgender trash going around right now. God loves everybody. He paid the highest price for every soul, but that doesn't mean that sin is allowed to just come in and run rampant. He washed sin away by His blood. Hallelujah. So we're free from sin. Freedom Freedom is not freedom to sin, it's freedom from sin. Hallelujah. It's freedom from sin, not freedom to sin. So there's too much salt in the United States for us to lose this nation. There's way too much salt. God gets involved just like he did with Sodom and Gomorrah. God came down, and if there were 10 or more people, who knows what he would have done to have spared that city. But God gets involved, and God gets involved by his sovereign hand. There's too much salt in this nation. And just to balance even Sodom and Gomorrah out, Matthew chapter 11, verse 23, Jesus actually said that if Sodom and Gomorrah had seen the miracles that Capernaum saw, Sodom and Gomorrah would have lasted until this day. In other words, they would not have been judged. Sodom and Gomorrah would have turned around by the glory of God if they had seen the miracles that Capernaum saw. Are you following me tonight? Sodom and Gomorrah, Jesus said it. Matthew 11, verse 23. You may want to write that down and read it later. But Sodom and Gomorrah, if that had taken place in the New Testament while Jesus was walking the earth, would have been spared and would have lasted another 4,000 years at least, if not longer, because of the miracles that would have taken place that they would have seen under Jesus' ministry. So you think, well, God just smoked Sodom and Gomorrah, he's going to smite the United States of America. No, there is judgment. I don't deny that. You can read about judgment in the book of Revelation, that there is New Testament judgment that God pours out. But God pours out his glory, he pours out his gospel in signs, wonders, and miracles before judgment is poured out. And I'm telling you right now that the gospel is going to be preached in this nation greater than ever before, signs and wonders poured out in this nation and across the world, greater than ever before, to the point that even a city and a nation as wicked as Sodom and Gomorrah will have turned around for the glory of God and not have been judged and not have been lost. Hallelujah! You think the United States is wicked? We are nothing compared to what Sodom and Gomorrah was. But Jesus said if Sodom and Gomorrah would have turned around, how much more will the city of Fort Worth turn around? How much more will the United States turn around? Praise God. Hallelujah. There's too much salt in the U.S. to lose this nation. In Joshua 13, verse 1, there is still much land to be possessed. We've got a lot of work ahead of us, praise God. Point number 3, I'm going to go through this real quick. Release your faith for the harvest. You got to latch on to what God's harvest is for you. I know I just spent a lot of time talking about the nation, but we started off praying that God would speak to you for what your harvest is, that he would open the eyes of your understanding. So what is it God spoke to you personally? What is it that you see personally? What is it that while we were praying or when you spend your own prayer time, that all of a sudden you get charged? You know what? If you're trying to decide between two things that's in your life, this option A or option B, do one of those charge your spirit when you pray? I mean, do you feel this life-quickening power about it when you pray? Then more than likely, that's the will of God for your life. You can have two good options before you, but if you don't feel a charging and an excitement of the Spirit of God, a quickening life about it, then more than likely neither one of those options are God's will, and you need to be patient for it and wait. But what is God's harvest for your life? You've got to release your faith for your harvest. You've got to be bold about your harvest. I'd love to hit point 3 a lot more, but I think maybe another night. But you've got to be bold in reaping your harvest. In 2016, you have to be bold in reaping it. Glory to God. What is God's harvest for you? Move boldly. Get the reaping instruments out. Have the laborers ready. Have a plan for your harvest. Have a plan for your new house. Have a plan for your new financial increase. Have a plan for what it is you're believing God for. Be bold about it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to share with you 4 things that I believe in 2016. Hallelujah. 4 things that I believe in 2016. In 2016, I believe that this is a year of revival making landfall. I was reading about Hurricane Katrina a few days ago, and they used that phrase that in August 30-something, I can't remember what day, in 2015, that Hurricane Katrina made landfall. Landfall means that there's a storm out in the ocean, and then it finally hits land. So I'm telling you that 2016 is the year that revival finally makes landfall here in the United States. And that doesn't mean that we're going to see all of the revival in 2016, but we're going to see it make landfall. You know, when Hurricane Katrina hit land and made landfall, it was maybe another 36 hours for the storm's duration took place. You know, so it could be another 20, 30 years. I don't know what God's time clock is for revival, but I'm telling you, in 2016, revival is going to make landfall in the United States of America. We are going to see things turn around. I'm telling you, what looks like has been a dark storm over this nation, is it's going to begin to break, and you're going to see the sun, the light rays from the sun shining through in this nation in 2016. I'm telling you right now. Hallelujah. We're going to see revival begin to make landfall. I believe we're going to have a born-again president in the White House. Praise God. Things are going to turn around. I believe that all the craziness that's taken place, we didn't think it could get this bad. It's going to be just equally much more as grace about to abound. Hallelujah. In this nation, even politically. Praise God. 2016 is a year of revival making landfall. The beginning of the manifestation of turnaround in this nation. A long-term turnaround which the devil can't stop. The devil has no idea what is truly going on. He is absolutely clueless. You think, oh, he's orchestrating ISIS. He's orchestrating the rainbow getting shot up on the White House. He's orchestrating this. No, the devil has no idea what is going on. He is totally clueless. I know he's got some things, you know, but the devil's plan doesn't matter. What is going on is what God is doing. What is going on is what the Word of God says. What is going on is what is prophesied by men and women anointed by the Spirit of God. That is what is going on. That is what matters. And the devil has no clue what has taken place. The devil has no clue what has truly taken place in your life when you take a hold of the Word, when you take a hold of God's plan for your life, when you take a hold of something in prayer, as Pastor shared, that we're going to be doing a lot more prayer this year, when you take a hold of things by the Spirit of God, the devil has no idea what's truly going on in your life. He is totally helpless. He is totally helpless if you just won't be dissuaded. 2016 is a year of revival making landfall. The second thing I believe in this year is the winter season is coming to an end and outward growth and harvest is here for you and this nation, that the winter season is coming to an end and that the outward growth for harvest is here. I believe this because we have been in a winter season for however long it might be. I mean, for the nation, you know, it can be 8 years and that you may, hallelujah, for your personal life, it may be different. But the winter season is coming to an end, and outward growth and harvest is here for you and for the United States of America. I just like to see it this way, that in the Old Testament, Israel had bad kings as a result of their unrighteous decisions. And I think we've been in the same situation for the last 8 years. But God turns things around, and He brings righteousness. I'm going to tell you, Israel went from a bad king to a good king, and things turned great. They went from bad kings, and then they'd have good ones. God's going to turn things around, I believe. Praise God. The winter season is coming to an end, and outward growth and harvest is here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The apparent tide, the third thing that I believe, the apparent tide of evil we have seen will begin to disappear amidst the glory of God. Death is swallowed up in victory. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 44 says. So there's still going to be evil, but the glory of God is absolutely going to swallow it up. The apparent tide of evil we have seen will begin to disappear amidst the glory of God. Death is swallowed up in victory. Praise God. I'm telling you, the things you've been fighting, the things that look like it's been a death in your life, is going to begin to be absolutely swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah. Victory is going to swallow up that trouble, swallow up that heartache, swallow up that trouble, swallow up that pain in your life. So begin to get excited about that. Praise God. Hallelujah. The fourth thing that I believe is that we've got several more years before the rapture comes. I don't believe it's coming in the next 2, 3, 4, or 5 years, but that's my personal belief. I believe we've got time to reap the harvest. I believe that God's got a long time ahead of us. And I don't know what that is. It can be 10, 15 years, 100 years. But I believe that God wanted me to share with you tonight that it's not going to be in the next. I'm just sharing with you to encourage you. I think we've got more than 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years left. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe that. I think it's important that everybody plan to live a full life. Budget ahead. Make investments. Have a retirement plan for your family. For you to live a full life. To give an inheritance to your children and your children's children. Don't be planning and thinking, well, we're only going to be around another 2 or 3 years. If God comes in 2 or 3 years, I'll be rejoicing. And I'll be glad that I was wrong. But I believe we've got more time. That's all I'm saying. And I think we need to have that faith focus of a long-term plan. Because what if God's coming in 30 years? We don't know this, but what if He's coming in, just say, 20 years? If anybody in here had a mindset of God's coming in the next 2 or 3 years, then your plan, God can be speaking to you a 20-year plan for revival that would reach 20,000 people out of a business plan. You may not even be a preacher, and God's got a plan for you to reach 20,000 people in the next 20 years. If your thought and mindset is He's coming so quick that I'm not planning, then you're going to miss what God's plan is for you. Hallelujah. And I'm saying that because I've heard some preachers say that I think, you know, maybe it's in the next few years. And I just think we have to be careful about saying and making, I just think we have to be careful about that because people begin to plan accordingly and make mistakes in their life. Jesus said, we do not know the hour or the day. Several times in Scripture, He says that. So we need to be careful not to plan according to something short term and not to get overboard on all of the prophetic things about, oh my gosh, did you hear what the governor over in Turkey said about somebody over there died and there's prophetic significance and all that? Look, the Bible is enough right here. Read the book of Revelation, go to Bible college. We've got a really good course on all that. It's great. The Bible is enough. I think we can go overboard on all the prophetic significance of everything that happens and, you know, how this and, you know, the beast and the lion and things that are just not in the Word, but how it ties into the Word and how in 2 or 3. We got to be careful about that. God's time clock, God's number one time clock is the harvest of souls, because harvest is family. Hallelujah. And if we wind it up in 2 or 3 years, I will be so excited because the harvest that we're about to reap will be so immense in 2 or 3 years. But I can tell you, we'd have to be working so hard. It would be the most amazing thing ever. But praise God. I believe we've got a little more time than that. So hallelujah. Amen. So it's quitting. It's not quitting time. It's harvest time for you. It's harvest time and not quitting time here in the United States. Can you say amen tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. It's harvest time and not quitting time. I believe we've got a great season of harvest ahead of us. You've got a great season of harvest ahead of you. Praise God. Lift up your eyes and see the goodness and the blessing that God has for you. And you're going to reap a good harvest this year in 2016. It's getting better. It's getting better on a personal level. It's getting better on a national level. Praise God. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand up on your feet tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you lift your hands and begin to praise God? Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, God. We bless you tonight, Lord Jesus. We thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord, tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Hallelujah, Lord.